It's At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, LeaderShield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Beck on SiriusXM Radio.
That gets us going. The late Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. Fantastic. As our At the Races Christmas music treasury is now officially open for 2 weeks. And turning to the action at Oaklawn, as Steve Anderson proved to be correct, just like Steve predicted, he said 20 minutes, he said the rain's, and sure enough, the rain has begun again here, and so it's hard to know what I'm going to get first, either electrocuted or pneumonia. Oaklawn did not have a great start weather-wise to their meet, but Carl Broberg had a nice start because the very nice Flash of Mischief wins another stake, this time the Ring the Bell, the first Ring the Bell, $150,000, and wins it in an absolute romp. Carl, congratulations to you and Jerry.
Thank you very much. Very exciting race and a little bit of redemption after he ran so poorly in the Breeders' Cup Sprint.
Well, and talk about his development. He's a 4-year-old colt, and you know certainly when you pay for a cover for Into Mischief, you hope that you're going to have a nice horse. He's now rung up a big bankroll, and
it's shy of $800,000.
Yeah, I mean it feels like he's getting. And it also feels like he's getting good. I mean, and even better, because two triple-digit buyers in his last three, winning the Vance and now winning this inaugural race.
The horse always had a ton of talent, just like his other siblings have shown as well. And we kept trying to make him go a little further than what he wanted to go. Finally, we just decided, you know what, we're going to sprint and see how that plays out, and it looks like it's going to work really well.
This is what you do. I mean, when you have a nice horse like this, and as a 3-year-old, you tried him in a lot of those kinds of spots. I forgot that he had won the St. Louis Derby.
Right, and that's just it. He'd run so well going long that it was hard to say, you know what, let's just try something else and see if we can have something really special as opposed to keep knocking the way we were, which was he's still running good. I mean, hell, he almost won the Governor's Cup there on opening night at Remington. But it was just so obvious that's not what he truly wants to do.
And the dam, you mentioned the family, the three runners. We'll talk about the 2-year-old, the debut 2-year-old winner in a minute. But Royal Mesa, stakes placed, Flash of Mischief, multiple stake winner, and War Campaign, the 3-year-old is all right.
Yeah, and that's another reason why we felt like we were supposed to go long, even though I just didn't think that was the thing. But yeah, it's that broodmare has been absolutely wonderful for Jerry Namy, and it's been a hell of a ride, and we're really excited about his younger brother. And this one actually does want two turns, so it will be fun.
Amos trained that dam.
Correct.
Flashy Campaign, a political force, one thing that's evident too, Carl, about Flash of Mischief, this is a horse that thrives on work.
Yeah, we did it. We did have quite the campaign at age 3, and we had plenty of dances at age 4, and hope we're going to be able to do the same again this year. He sure seems to enjoy it.
Talk about this, Carl. I mean, you deal with a lot of claimers, and here's a horse that has made 23 starts before the end of his 4-year-old campaign. 12 starts last year, 8 this year. And this is an Into Mischief. I mean, this is a pedigree that is out there in force. Why is this horse, what is the difference that a horse like this can basically go out and run every 6 weeks?
Well, truth be told, there are a lot more horses than what are allowed to do that. But the only real rough patch in Flash of Mischief's form was when we actually did turn him out and bring him back there. I was afraid for the first couple starts we were never going to get him on track.
So there is something very evident here that is kind of a throwback. You look at the way anybody that's got the PPs from Saturday, take a look at the page. Here he is. He's got one workout on the page, October 25th. this is a horse that instead of working, and then running, this is a horse that runs and doesn't need to work out. The workout, they say, what, a race is worth five workouts. You don't work this horse, you run him.
That's always been a mindset of ours, and it's worked. In fact, the only work he does show in his PPs is because it was required before the sprint, because of the time between races.
Oh, there you go. The for Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
Interesting. Well, very impressive. And we talked when we were handicapping the other day. We had Vic Stauffer. We were previewing the weekend, and it came to this, and actually it may have come up with James Scully too. And you're just saying that you get a sense that as he becomes a 5 year old, this is a serious sprinter.
We sure hope that that plays out to be true. I was nervous going into the race, the way the track had played, and I thought the inside was going to be dead, and I was very nervous going into the race, but that was short-lived.
Well, Christian Torres, we should fold Torres into the conversation. He's basically been signed on here for these last four starts, and I'm sure it was a big deal for him to get a chance to ride in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, it's been great. We had a great meet together at Remington Park, and we hope to be able to continue to Oakland, and his business should just continue to grow.
Well, give us a little feel. Here's Remington winding down. We'll talk about what's ahead, and I'm coming there for Thursday and Friday and Saturday. But and you mentioned to me that 2-year-old Gunflash, the sibling, is going to run. But Oaklawn just getting started, Remington winding down. Give us a feel for what's ahead at Oaklawn and a little bit of a wrap-up for 2022 for the barn.
Obviously, I'm incredibly pleased with the way the Remington Park meet went. I sure didn't think that we'd be... have a chance to win the training title going into the meet. I guess it helps that Steve kind of slowed down there compared to what he normally does, because obviously he can win that meet each and every time he chooses to. So that was fun. I lived in Oklahoma for years. I was surrounded by Bear Meadows, Will Rogers, Blue Ribbon Down. So it's good to win there at Remington. Always fun. I think we're going to have our best Oaklawn meet ever, which shouldn't be hard considering last year. I think we started the meet 2 for 45. So we're already on pace to do much better there. And horse racing's got a lot more interesting stuff going into 2023 than where I'm headed next. Where's our sport headed is a much better question.
Well, I'll swing around to that and get some. I'll let you potentially sound off on that a little bit. Let's talk about some other horses and tell us about Gunflash. And you're hopeful to get in. How big of a field? I guess they're going to look at a capacity.
I believe that there were 36 nominations. I could be lying, but I think there are 36 nominations. Seemed like about half of them were Brad Cox, which is only a slight exaggeration. And for anybody that follows us, they know we're not a barn that generally wins first time out. Second time out is more our thing. The Gunflash, the colt you're referring to, fought our bad training plus a horrible track bias that day and was hung wide throughout. In a day in which the rail was absolutely golden and just had a miraculous effort to get up for the win. And I just know he wants to run all day, so I'm super excited about him.
Well, and this, this race, we've been featuring Remington all season, but this race it sure feels to me like it's knocking on the door of being graded. And, you know, it's got Derby points. I mean, there's a lot about the springboard that, you know, that feels like it's on the come. And I'm excited about being there. The last time I was at Remington was 2007 for the Classics card. And
right.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to
it's been a minute.
Yeah,
exactly. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
I love it. Let me touch base too on some other aspects of the barn and of the operation, because you know you're operating in really across mid-American racing from Hawthorne, you know, down to the Delta, and you know it. How many in training at any one time, Carl?
The number continues to dwindle as it does throughout the sport, but 140 in training right now.
Okay, all right, and how many? By basically, I mean with Remington
Delta
and
Downs. Delta Downs is the spot that I love, just because that surface is so kind.
Yep,
and it's just fun. I've got my training center, which is located just a mile away from there. That's allowed us to continue to grow and hopefully start to break more young horses and prove that we can do more than just win with the claimers, which is what you kind of get labeled as.
Well, and everybody that comes from that direction, you know, not every outfit is not every outfit is instantly blessed with you know, 30 stake horses, but that's not unusual, you know, to keep building up. And obviously when you get a horse, you know, you get a horse like Flash of Mischief and this family, it's a showcase opportunity for you.
Oh, it's fun, and it's great for an owner that's just so kind and has given so much to the sport and takes the good news with the bad news and stride. And yes, it's a wonderful opportunity that I hope we are able to seize appropriately.
Well, speaking of seizing opportunities, Nick Tamaro, Nick and I were together on Friday, as we always are, and I congratulated him on winning the Lone Star contest that previous weekend, and he gave the details of the end game, and basically it was you and Trey Styles and him that were vying for the, you know, for the spoils. You have become a real presence on the contest scene. You got a real feel for it. It obviously, and Nick and I were talking about you, in that it speaks to your savvy when it comes to the claiming game. You know, you got to be a good handicapper. And so to translate it to contest play seems like a natural. I mean, talk about your interest in the contest side.
Oh, I absolutely love the contest just because it's so much fun, and that's what I do. Not to mention, it's my only chance to ever win an Eclipse Award. So somehow I got to win that. But no, it's a lot of fun. I've been handicapping and playing the horses since I was a little bit of kid, and I guess the reason I even became aware of the tour at all was Lone Star had offered it a few years ago, and I'm like, that could be fun. And it kind of went from there. So
talk about the learning curve and you know, the experience and what you, how quickly, you know, you,
the learning curve as far as the tournament goes. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
all you're doing is buying a lottery ticket to Vegas where there's a kajillion you're playing against. But as far as live tournaments go, there really wasn't much of a learning curve. I think I've only, let's just say my win rate in live tournaments is pretty good.
What in terms of your cash play when you're playing, what's your approach? How do you typically bet?
I have a position. I have something that I truly believe in strongly, and I will just fire appropriately where most people would not wager near that much of their bankroll in a race. Where if I like a race and I'm given the opportunity, hell, I'll just go all in.
Yeah, more or less a win better, or do you keep, you know, how much exotic play do you get involved in?
I've always been very, I've leaned strongly towards win wagers, and I'm kind of a dinosaur in that regard. But I have found here recently that I'm going to try to attack some other pools, which it's been fun, but I really don't have enough time for that anyways.
In terms of you know, looking at from multi race, you know, building multi race tickets.
Yes, correct. Yeah. In fact, what was it? Next to the last day at Churchill, I was able to put together a $200 pick four, and it was three singles and two deep, and wound up getting $43,000.
Unbelievable.
But so that's the same style you have in the NHC play, where if I do have a really strong field, then I'll get after it.
I love hearing it. Give us going to come around to the part of the conversation. Two things. I want you to expand on what you were hinting at about the game and about the administration of the game. And certainly you operate in some regions where the HBPA collectively, you know, both regional and national, are you know, fighting tooth and nail for horsemen's rights, involving HISA. Some thoughts, Carl, about you know, the restrictions, how it affects you. You know, it does sound like, you know, you got some distinct feelings.
Well, when you look at it monetarily, it just seems like it's going to be the death of small and mid-tier tracks as these budgets continue to grow. Do I feel it's something the sport needed? Yes, but it needed to be done. There is no right way to do something like this, so it's easy to armchair quarterback. But what should have just been done is you take whichever state you feel was doing it the best. You don't try to reinvent the wheel. You adopt those rules. We do need the same medication rules in every jurisdiction. That's a no-brainer. But it just seems like we keep adding so many pieces. And as you look at how horribly it's been handled here in the first year on so many different aspects, though the whips were arguing about shoes and all that stuff. Hell, if they can't get that right, how do you think they're going to do on the medication side of things?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So, I don't know. But worst case scenario is, it runs me out of the sport, and I'll have a lot more time to play in tournaments.
there may not be anything to bet on, but
oh, dude, trust me, they'll keep racing in about four states, which to me it looks like it's obviously that sort of is the goal all along.
It's funny you put it in those terms, because I've said the same thing from day one, going back to the origin of this, that it was a class war, and
if we followed the quote private money that was loaned to it to fund it originally, it would show that to be 100% true.
Carl Broberg joining us and winning some people over, I imagine, Carl. Give us a couple of plays this week. You got horses running all over the place. I don't even know. Sometimes I'll pick out a maiden special or a certain horse that looks interesting. I don't even know where to start here. But
you're hitting me up way too early in the week for selections. So I will simply say that Gunflash might be worth a play at Remington Park.
All right.
And there's going to be some value on us throughout the Oaklawn Park meet, because there we often get overlooked in the wagering, and I just think that we're going to have a pretty solid meet.
Excellent. Well, Fairgrounds, Oaklawn, Delta, and wrapping up at Remington. Carl, I appreciate it.
And we have Sam Houston starting next month.
That's true, and I, you know, we're sort of taking this wait and see, and I'm sure they are.
Nobody can wager on it.
Well, maybe not though. Maybe that's gonna, maybe that logjam breaks, and we got to see what happens here with the 6th district, with that, those arguments, and I would like to get back with Amy Cook too, and see if she's got, a different approach now that some things are maybe coalescing. So that cow has not left. Right?
I look forward to seeing you this weekend at Remington Park.
I appreciate it. Carl Broberg, everybody, and a really nice performance from Flash of Mischief. And he's obviously got a top sprinter that is going to continue to emerge. Another triple-digit buyer. I'll tell you what. I know he's got his detractors, but a very, very savvy Carl Broberg. And, I was going to say, you can follow him on Twitter, at Carl Broberg, simply. And I think he's been less... He's been a little less controversial. I should have asked about that. I think he's been a little less controversial on the old Twitter, right? When he first came on Twitter, he created a little bit of a stir. But this is quite a family that Jerry Namy has crafted. And there's actually we talked about the two-year-old, doesn't look like there's a baby this year. There's no 22 that's been reported. There is an Arrogate yearling. That name is Kalahari King. So you can look forward to next summer, Kalahari King. And I hope nothing happened to the mare. Royal Mesa, and obviously Namy has had expectation. Went to Sky Mesa first, then to Into Mischief, Declaration of War. Gunflash is a gun runner, obviously, and was a debut winner. And the yearling is an Arrogate. There's another interesting aspect. All five of her babies are male. All five. Five for five. No fillies. And interestingly, the first... This may be something good for Sid on Wednesday. The first four babies, the Sky Mesa, the Into Mischief, the Declaration of War, and the Gunrunner, were all bay. And the Arrogate is a gray. So he put his stamp on. And it's actually maybe Sid, that might be good. Sid could maybe explain how that works, because that's the coloration thing is very interesting. And we haven't talked about it in ages. One thing we're going to talk about is that the temperature has dropped easily. For those of you that over the years have heard me from here when we're doing this and we get a day like this, Churchill's famous for this too. But we don't have to be outdoors anymore. It's been years since we've been outdoors at Churchill. When the sun would come up, the temperature would drop. And somebody, who was it? Somebody not that long ago, actually. It may have been earlier this year. Somebody sent me the explanation for this, why the temperature drops. I mean, there's no sun to be seen. It is gray and overcast. You can see the outline of the San Gabriel Mountains, and it's gorgeous as always here at Santa Anita. But I'm very close to starting to shiver. It is cold and damp and wet, and there's not a soul to be found. So tomorrow will be a little bit more. I think will be a little bit more lively here on the one of the great venues anywhere in the game, Clocker's Corner. The breakfast and Rosie and everything that goes with it. And, of course, Clocker's Corner as you know it. Crafted by the vision of Johnny D. It was Johnny D who made Clocker's Corner what it is. When he, one day, like all apocryphal stories, It took Johnny asking to have an egg sandwich. that's what broke the ice and turned Clocker's Corner into the institution it is. They were coffee and donuts, and there was no hot food. And then one day Johnny said, "You got the grill right there, right? And you got the toaster. Why can't you make me an egg sandwich?" And the next thing you knew, the Clocker's Corner became one of the great venues. A couple of horses out, actually a handful of horses on the training track. Pretty much just light jogging and you know, little flourishes here and there. Things are very saturated. No doubt about that. And just trying to pick off a few saddle cloths from a little too far away for me to. I see that's a Vladimir Serin. That's distinctive. The V with the C, the purple. That doesn't require 20/20 vision. It is strange to be here when it's like this. Not unusual for it to be a quiet morning. That we got plenty of quiet mornings, but this is particularly. And obviously nobody came out. Baffert said, in fact, we talked to Baffert on Saturday at Los Al, and he said, you know, Monday, he said the weather might be bad, and he said there's no training. He said, so don't expect much activity. So we'll get, tomorrow and Wednesday, we got opportunity. Plus, we'll hopefully get Nate Newby to come visit and lay out the schedule. One of the objectives here was to get out in front of the meet 2 weeks from today. So countdown starting, and just one more week at Los Al. It was fun Saturday. It's always nice over there. I thanks to Orlando Gutierrez and Doc Allred. I always look forward on the back end of Arizona to come to Los Al, and it's unusual for me to have such a busy social weekend when I come here too. Two nights of activity, and I mentioned going to this get together. John just so happened that John and Maggie, John Parada, they were in town, and so the opportunity to get together. They had a bunch of friends. John and Maggie are actually going to move to Ireland in the early part of next year. And so they, you know, of course, Maggie, long time in the film business, and wanted to have a get together and kind of say goodbye to use it as an opportunity to see a lot of friends. And so being here, pretty cool. I went over to Santa Monica. John got the opportunity to stay in the bungalow that he stayed at when he did Luck. And Hammer and Gina came. That was fun. Alan Gunnerman got to see Alan, who, you know, one of the great turf publicists in the game, a legend here in Naira and Meadowlands, and just venerable on the turf publicity side. And one of the highlights, I don't want to be starstruck, but one of the highlights certainly, Kerry Condon, who you'll recall in Luck, played the jock. Rosie, right? Rosie, actually. Wasn't the character Rosie? And then went on, has really gone on to fabulous, in the 10 years since Luck, has gone on to a brilliant career. Better Call Saul, as Mike's daughter-in-law, right? And most recently, and that she's getting Oscar buzz for The Banshees of Inisherin. And haven't seen it yet with Brendan Gleeson and Colin Farrell. And she was so nice. It was really kind of cool to meet her. And she showed me a picture. She adopted one of the horses from Luck. And of course, the horses from Luck were already, they were already off the track, essentially. And horses that were in almost, well, in one case, too good shape. And she adopted, and he, the horse that she adopted, she says, was just a chorus line horse. He was not the Pint of Plain, right? It was Pint of Plain, and what was Nick Nolte's horse? The one that Kerry Condon rode. Pint of Plain, and I'm going to forget his name, but so she adopted this horse, and she apparently she told me she just recently bought a farm outside of Seattle, and he's up there. She had him here in and around LA, and I mean it's been 10 years since Luck wrapped, so she has got this farm, and she is thinking about taking on other off the track thoroughbreds. So just so nice, and really very considerate that she would do that. And take that much of an interest. So Kerry Condon should be really appreciated by all of us. She was saying that one of the people, in addition to production people and people like John Parada, that she stays in contact with, Gary Stevens. She said that Gary, she said, was so helpful to her and would basically pony with her when she was preparing in Luck. And that, and of course, what was Gary? Ronnie? What was Gary's, the character's name? Ronnie? I'm going to forget the last name. They had one of the great moments in Luck. And I believe it's a Jay Hovde line. Hovde will correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's a Hovde line. When he gets dropped on the backstretch in a heel clipping incident, and is dusting himself off and says, "I break this collarbone more than I get laid." That's the mark of a great line when you remember it, 10 years later, right? Too funny. So anyway, it was a delight to meet her, and then last night, going the chance to go to go see the Charger game last night, and this stadium, Gary Barber said the same thing. I mean, Gary has been to some of the great sporting venues, and Gary Barber is a wild-eyed sports fan. I mean, he loves all sports, not just horse racing, and of course, one of the just best owners in the whole game. And Gary said, there's no stadium, there's no facility, of this era, a newer venue. More incredible. I'll put up a video, actually. I took a panorama type video. It is just spectacular. I know, like Steve Anderson said, there's a lot of frustration regarding what the absence of Hollywood Park has done. What the absence of Hollywood Park has done to the essentially to the landscape. Yes, Del Mar stepped in, and yes, Los Al filled in some gaps, but its absence is felt. And in the meantime, though, that facility and the fact that Hollywood Park's name is like all over it still dots the landscape there in Inglewood. The signage, the Hollywood Park Casino, and there's an art gallery in the stadium, and I saw Hollywood Park Heritage Commission, Hollywood Park Heritage, something like that. And I was going to look it up and find out more, but its presence in hearts and minds goes on. But the facility, when you get a chance to see an event, and I guess is the college championship game? Is it one of the two playoff games, or is it the championship game that's going to be there? But I'm very impressed. I can't thank Gary enough for the invitation. It was just so much fun. Met all kinds of people, and really a great night. I got home late. I must admit, when you're an East Coaster and coming out here, of course, at 5:30 like I do, it means getting up at 4 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock. But always great. And now actually, I'm just looking up. I just turned around because I'm sort of facing in to stay dry. But as Steve Anderson suggested, the snow-capped mountains, he wasn't kidding. That's as much snow coverage as I think I've ever seen, and including the ones that are in closest proximity, the foothills here. Is this the Catalina foothills? Something foothills. Unbelievable. I'll take a picture. I'll take a picture now in case it changes. Coming up toward the top of the hour, I'm sort of vamping here for a couple of minutes. Dick Powell's going to join us, and we'll get the recap from the HKIR. Haven't mentioned those. We got some other stakes to touch on as well. Graham Motion in this hour three. Trying to make sure. There we go. That'll work. The downhill course and the snow-capped mountains. All right. And there's even, I don't know if I got that gray horse in or not. Let me see. Did I get the gray horse? If I did? No, I didn't. The gray horse is out of the frame. Because that could have been an award winner. This could be the photography eclipse. That might be my only chance. The a couple of the other Oaklawn results on the heels of Carl Broberg's terrific visit, and Deodoro and group of owners winning that Mistletoe on Saturday. Lovely Ride, which was a good price too. Lovely Ride stayed on, and that was a wire job that was a little bit, surprising. That Le De Vida, who was going to go favored, she really never got involved. Victor Chamino was having to scrub on her really the whole way, and she just never engaged. But lovely ride in the meantime on the front end, and there's Christian Torres again. So Deodoro for John Holman and Flying P and Larry Nafe. They win the mistletoe. That was on Saturday. And going back to Friday, the opening day action at Oaklawn. They're actually, it's funny, I did not bet. And I was kicking myself, but I was running around on Friday afternoon, and that Count de Monet, the Tom Swearingen I mentioned with Santo Sanjur, that looked like a good price to use in exotics, it was more than a good price to use in the exotics, went ahead and won the Advent, so congratulations, we should get Tom on. Tom Swearingen for Charles Galley. This is a Copper Penny Spitester colt, two-year-old, that is now 3 for 3. And went off at 15 to 1, paid 33.20. The big number was Alto Road at 44 to 1. That was a good second here, closing, and got past Tyler's Tribe. Tyler's Tribe bled a little bit, not like he bled in the Breeders' Cup, but I didn't see a number. The Breeders' Cup was a 5 out of 5. Tim Martin made it sound like it might have been more like a 1 or a 2. He said there's just a little trickle. He said, but he's going to pull up on Tyler's Tribe, and I know he has come under criticism for. Did he bring him back too soon? If the horse is giving you indication that they're okay, that's all you can do. So they're going to regroup again. He's third here, beaten 3. They'll just, give him some time again and come back at it. That's all you can do. So, and hope he can, get him back on track. Amos actually had a nice win, we should mention, too, that came Friday, opening day. Hazy Command. Rafi Bejarano off to a seemingly good start at Oaklawn. And this won a Late Night Stables Mastery Filly, 3-year-old, and might be okay. Hazy Command. So some of the highlights, and yesterday I did not catch the Sunday, so I got to catch up on the Sunday racing yet from Ferentz. And we also have to do Fairgrounds. We got to do the Champions card that we went over with Marcus. So lots to do yet. Let's take the top of the hour break. Dick Powell is going to join us when we come back. Get the HKIR results, and there wasn't wild upheavals, but not everything went as planned. And of course, the Golden 60. Dick was out in front of Golden 60 getting beat. We'll go through the four races with Dick after this, and then Graham Motion will join us as well. Hour 3, we're at Santa Anita. It's not the Santa Anita you want when you come here, but it will be by the time opening day rolls around, and maybe even tomorrow. It's supposed to snap the back and get in the right direction. Back after this, at the races. The Great Race Place. Sirius XM.